Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for sweet, sweet fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you, Lord. What a privilege to be daily having fellowship with our Heavenly Father. The scripture says our fellowship is with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And then we have fellowship one with another. What a sweet, sweet life in Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you, we adore you, Lord. Lord, oh Lord God, crucify with Him, the Bible says. Bury with Him, in the baptism. And we are quickly together with Him when He was raised from the dead. We are raised up together with Him. And Satan, like it or not, we are now seated together with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, the mystery of the Christian faith. Christ is not the hope of glory. Father, we thank you. We worship you again. Thank you for the testimonies, Lord. Just a few minutes, I want to read your word now, Lord, trusting you all the time that you will bless the reading of your word. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Pray to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, all kind of things happen this day. And the people start doing what they want to do. And they are looking for life over there, and that planet and so forth. One thing is sure, they cannot outdo God. God has told us what we need to know about the universe and the creation, if only they will believe it, right? So this morning I want to take a time to talk about the earth we are living in now, the earth, past and the present. What happened to the earth in the past? So the earth, the past and the present. Maybe in the future, and we'll talk about the earth future, but for now today, by the grace of God, so much to put in here, but I will do the best I can by the grace of God. So the earth, past and present. The scripture begins with the sublime declaration in Genesis 1:1. They call it a falsehood out there about the creation and so on. And they trumpet it every day. So why can't we trumpet God's word everywhere, anytime we have opportunity and so on, to tell the devil that he's a liar and so on, that you know. So the scripture begins with the sublime declaration, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, he says, out of his study, something happened there. And void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So, verse 1, it says, and the word heaven is singular. It's singular, right? So we're going to simplify things this morning. Because it's singular, right? So, clarify that. So we're going to limit our discussion to the creative act of our heart and our planet and our solar system. When you say heaven, many other places, the Bible says heavens, right? But here it says heaven. So we're going to limit our discussion this morning to our heart and our solar system only, and not go into the whole of the starry spaces of the universe. So we're going to limit to the heart here and our solar system. Now, the original or the pre-Adamic earth, begin from there. The manner of the creation of the pre-Adamic earth is not revealed in the scriptures. We are simply told that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. That's why we have it. That's why He told us. That's what, So science will talk to you. The true science is in line with God's word. Don't argue with true science that agree with the word of God. They say, oh, the earth is millions and millions of years. Oh, that is true. Many Christians think that earth is 6,000 years old. No. So, the declaration of God's word, we are just reading now. So, all the millions of years that true science may require for the formation of the earth as a planet are in that statement I read to you. Indeed, this creation was doubtless in the dateless past. Even far above time, the creation is in the dateless past. In the eternity behind us, really, God did not set up shop 6,000 years ago, no. He is the ancient of days. Bible says, it's going forth, has been from ever since. Micah 5:2, right? So anyway, the creation is eternity behind us. Now, the scripture, we will see later, this morning, implies that the original earth was a most beautiful earth, really, Of course, when God do something, it has to be beautiful, right, and good, right? Covered with vegetation. We're going to see in the scripture as we go on, or implying in scripture, the original earth, the pre-Adamic earth, as we're going to see in the Bible, or implying the Bible, was beautiful earth covered with vegetation and inhabited too. How long it continued in that condition of beauty, we are not told. But we are told that at some point in time, something happened to the earth that made it to be void and without form. And darkness was upon the face of the Bible says Genesis 1-2. This is an indication that an awful catastrophe befell the earth, this our earth, and it became submerged in water and was in darkness. Because of the earth becoming a waste, after its original creation, it's not clearly revealed to us in the Bible. Nevertheless, it is certain from astronomical and geological evidence that some gigantic cataclysm has taken place in the planetary system that we have here. Well, it could have been caused by many things and so on. We won't go into that right now. So, anyway, it is clear from the account of the fall of Adam. We're going to see why, what happened really in the way. From the fall of Adam and Eve, that sin existed before man was created. So we see why judgment came upon this earth. Yeah, this sin existed before Adam was created. What do I mean by that? The Bible says so. We know that Lucifer, meaning Satan, and his angels were created before Adam. That we know from the scriptures. I don't have to go there. The creation, the self-exaltation, and fall of Satan are described in many scriptures. I read a few of them. How sin was in this world before man was created. That's not what I'm getting at all. Sin was there before Adam, through Lucifer. So let's see the creation, the self-exaltation, and fall of Satan. Ezekiel 28, 13 verse. Thou hast been in Eden. There you go. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Till iniquity, that's sin, right? The iniquity was found in thee. Thy heart was lifted up because of that beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. The Lord said, I will cast thee down to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. In that scripture, he was talking about Tyrus. But Tyrus was a type of Satan. You know, really, you know, that to come, at it, you know, to come later and tell that, you know, it was Satan. Another prophet, at the matter of two or three witnesses, right? Isaiah 14:12, talking about the creation, the exaltation, and the downfall of Satan and bringing in sin into God's fair creation. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which doth weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, he said. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit, the face of Lucifer, and so forth. In the end, we know, first of all, he put in the bottomless pit. Take an angel to do that. Nothing. God has done with him, right? An angel will put in the bottomless pit. 1,000 years or so later and so on. For 1,000 years. Thereafter, he'll be loose for a moment and then, carry the nations again and then down to hell, to the lake of fire and so on. Anyway, so the inference is that Satan and his angels were in charge of the pre-Adamic earth. This is between the lines of the Bible now. And they rebelled. And by rebellion, they brought destruction on the pre-Adamic earth and its inhabitants, which resulted in what we read in Genesis 1-2. That what happened there, from what you can see from the Bible, 1-2 of Genesis, and the heart was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Other scriptures reveal that the heart was not originally in that condition. No, it wasn't so. You know, as described in Genesis 1-2. Let's see some of them. Isaiah 45 verse 18, showing you that the heart was in in darkness, and without form. No, not in the original creation. You know, what happened there in Isaiah 45 tells us in verse 18. For thus said the Lord, that created the heavens. God himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain. See what I'm saying? That state of chaos wasn't there originally and so on. You know, in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no else. The prophet Jeremiah might have well described the catastrophe or cataclysm that befell the earth in the pandemic time. How did he describe it? Now, the sin of Israel and Jerusalem was so great that the prophet was trying to liken it the kind of punishment and judgment that will come to Israel. What can he compare it to? He compared it to the pre-Adamic heart destruction. That was, you know, to show you how the sin was. So he likened to the destruction of the earth before Adam. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, 23 verse. So, to show you, you know, so he was likened to what happened. He gives you an inkling what happened in that cataclysm. I beheld the earth, he said, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. Let's take a closer look at those verses and so on. First of all, it will be enlightening to do that, you know, to see what happened, you know, in the prehistoric events talking about here. First, we are told in Jeremiah 4:23 that the catastrophe caused the earth to be without form and void. Isn't this the language of Genesis 1:2? And apparently, it is speaking of the same thing. The primeval judgment of the earth. That was talking about there. Second, Jeremiah 43 still continue with these words. And the heavens had no light. This, in other words, is a re-echoing the words of Genesis 1:2, where it is stated that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Number three, or thirdly, the destruction had depopulated the earth. Jeremiah 25. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. 26 verse says, all the cities thereof were broken down. It's describing what I will call a picture of a ruined civilization. Jeremiah saw it. That will describe the judgment that will come to Israel. But now the Holy Ghost is now taken back to the pre-Adamic world. And what happened right there? Number four, the catastrophe has resulted in convulsions and continental upheavals, which affected the mountains and the heart topography, as depicted in Jeremiah 4:24. It says, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Number five, just to compare that this what the was saying here about the pre-Adamic destruction of the Five, animal life had disappeared. Jeremiah 25, I beheld and lo, all the birds of the heavens were fled. Six, the heart in becoming a waste was no longer able to support life. Jeremiah 26 says, I beheld and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. Lastly, number seven, the cause of the catastrophe was the fierce anger of the Lord. Jeremiah 4:26 says that the fierce anger of the Lord, you know, it's a concept that is always associated with sin and apostasy. that was sent upon the earth in the pandemic time, right? So therefore, you know, he's telling us what happened there, you know. Now, if this was an account of the destruction of the pandemic earth, and we believe it is, because the Holy Ghost just don't do things like that, then the pre-Adamite earth was inhabited then. We can see that from what we just said now. And its inhabitants dwelt in cities. And God's purpose in destroying the pandemic earth was to efface, meaning to erase all historic monuments and evidences of the sinfulness of the pre-Adamic time. That's why he destroyed them. You know, something like that, you know. He wanted to erase it, efface all the sinfulness that happened at that time. Now, other scriptures describing the catastrophe. We are told in 2 Corinthians 13:1, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So we find that the book of Job seems to also describe the pre-Adamite catastrophe in Job chapter 9, verse 4. He is wise in heart, meaning our God is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and has prospered. Watch this. Which removeth the mountains and know not, which overturneth them in his anger. You know the same thing, fierce anger in Jeremiah, the fierce anger, right? So because of anger, right? The same thing, you know, in the fierce anger. Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Which commanded the sun, watch that now, and it rises not, and spirits all the stars, darkness, right? It's kind of the same thing, you know, we believe. So according to this scripture, this destruction took place at a time when the very heart was shaken out of our place, the mountains were overturned in the great geologic upheaval that happened at that time. The light of the sun and the stars were cut out, alluding to Genesis 1:2, where it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The scripture. Now, another thing is this. There are many judgments come to this world. And so on that. In the future, we talk about the heart future, but today it is the pandemic and the present heart, right? We said that here. Let me show you another something here. Many judgments come upon the earth. So because the angels sin in the time of pandemic era and Satan and so on, God, the Bible mentions some certain judgments on the heart. And he put the judgment of the angel forth, I believe, in chronological order. Let's go to 2 Peter 2:4. See? So, God, no, sorry, for if God spare not the angels, he put the angels forth, right? That sin. Like I said, that was sin before Adam, that was sin. Remember before Adam, right? But cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So he put the judgment of the angels forth. What's next now? And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Next one. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should be ungodly. I believe that chronological order. So before the flood, there was a judgment on the angels, right? After the flood, came to them at Gomorrah, right? So I believe so that's what it is, you know. So they put the angel judgment before the sins, they put them first. So we see the idea. Pointing to the pandemic time too, you know. And Abraham was told to replenish. Another thing is this, telling you about the truth of the pre-Adamic world or the pre-Adamic earth. What did God tell Adam? You know, the command given to Adam and Eve to replenish the earth is an exceedingly strong proof of a pre-Adamic civilization. It is. When the earth was depopulated because of the flood, God gave command to Noah, saying in Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the heart. Very important. Why did God use this word? Because the earth had previously been inhabited, right? And now, having been depleted because of the flood, no happened there, it must be replenished. It was to be filled this time around with a new order of inhabitants. So, but these were the same very exact words God spoke to Adam, right? In Genesis 1:28. What did he say there? And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the heart. The same very what he told Noah. So what does that mean to us? Because just as Noah's posterity was to replace those of the anti-diluvian race, so Adam's posterity was to replace a prehistoric race that was destroyed. That's simple, right? Or I will say, if you see by the heart of the Holy Spirit, and all that, Now, let's move a little bit forward. Now, Bible prophesied that man will deny the catastrophe that befell the world before Adam. God said they will deny it. And let me show you that. Today, many have rejected the biblical record of this geological catastrophe, and they came up with what they call uniformitarianism. Uniformitarianism, that's big English, right? But it's out there. What does it mean? It's a theory that changes in the earth crust during geological history have resulted from the action of continuous and uniform processes. In other words, they are saying that this theory says that it implies that there has been an evolutionary succession of animal and vegetable life without a break for the past millions of years. That's what they were saying, the continuity and so on. They said that God said we do it. In the book of Peter, Bible prophecy says in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this fact, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And we live in that day right now. For since the father said, fell asleep, look at this one. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And they call it the theory of uniformitarianism, right? That the continuous and uniform processes. And that's what the opposite will be right now. And it's out there, So we know. Bible foretold this thing before. We are living in the last days. Bible says the last days, right? Another standard, we are living in the last days, So anyway, in other words, men have turned from the biblical record of the earth catastrophe judgment to the belief that all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The chain of Israel, this generation didn't learn from Israel. The children of Israel did not appreciate God speaking directly to them on Mount Sinai in the days of Moses. Rather, they said unto Moses in Exodus 20:19, O Moses, speak thou with us, Moses, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. They don't want to hear God's word. The same thing they are doing today, right? This attitude is repeated today. Many do not wish to listen to the voice of God, but rather to the record of nature, even if it is falsified. The spirit of this age is to get away from a paternal God, and the unknown to them is this truth, that there is a great danger when moved away from divine revelation. Yes, punishment is always following it in all the history of the world. Talking about the pandemic war, right? When people move away from the revelation of God, like they are doing in this age, we talk about the future of this earth, we go into that one. That's coming a gigantic, judgment coming upon this earth, but that's for the future. Right now, it's the past and the present earth. Now, another reason where there's an existence, where we say there was a pre-Adamic civilization is this. Demonic spirits, where they come from, their existence, another proof of the pre-Adamic civilization. Now, so these evil spirits is a further proof of the pre-Adamic catastrophe. The question often asked is, where do these wicked spirits or demons come from? These demons, we know, they inhabit spirit mediums. all the necromancy and so on, the habit these people and so on, you know, and cause many people, when they possess people, they cause serious injury, you know. In fact, to which our Lord refers to in Luke 11, here's what the Lord said, the terrible devastation of demon possession and so on, that, you know, this wicked spirit in Luke 11, 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house. Isn't that a lie? They tell you, it's not your house, to my house, where I came out. And the Bible says, the Lord said, when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in, and dwell there, the Lord said, and the last state of that man is worse than before. Many of the things that people have to treat today, many of the sicknesses that medical science has to do, we thank God for medical science, they do a tremendous job. God let them do what they are doing because God, we know that not all men have faith, right? So we know that, so to help humanity and so forth, you know. But many of the things that they are dealing with are demonic things, really, and they can't do so much about it and so. Anyway, demon spirits cannot be the spirits. People have been saying what demons are, right? One of the theories was that maybe they are spirits of dead people of our age. It can't be so. Demon spirit cannot be the spirits of the wicked dead of our age. Why? Because the Lord told us the story of the in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus. So demon cannot be the spirits of people who have died in our age and they are coming. No, it can't be so. In that story, we are told that that the spirit of dead people who don't believe the Lord, they are in Hades and have no power to return to the earth. So the theory that demons are spirits of people who are gone by can't be so. If they die, they are in Hades, they can't come back here. If they are a Christian, they will be in paradise, right? Now, in the very immediate presence of God. So demons cannot be spirits of people who this age who died. The demon spirits, therefore, apparently have come from a pre-Adamic race. That's what we can really get from the Bible. I'm not going to claim infallibility or to be dogmatic on this one, so I just leave it open. So, but they apparently came from the pre-Adamic race. It seems likely that their fall was associated with the fall of Satan and his angels. You know, so I just leave that idea, you know. But it's a proof of the existence of a pre-Adamic civilization. Now, the manner in which the exterior surface of our heart of the pre-Adamic time was made, how is it made without form and void and darkness was upon it? Why? 2 Peter 3:5 says this. It says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the Spirit of God the heavens were of old, and the heart standing out of the water, and in the water, the next verse says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So talking about another proof of the pre-Adamic civilization, this scripture clearly does not refer to Noah's flood, wherein it says there being overflowed with water perish. That's all the waters of Noah, because we know that the world of Noah's day did not perish. We know that, you know. So the scripture goes on to add in verse 7 of 2 Peter 3, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So we are talking about that's a future judgment to come, right? You know. So by the heavens and the earth, which are now, the Bible is telling us that they have been in existence. This presence will have been in existence since the recreation in Genesis 1, verse 3 to 31. Anyway, not the first two verses. Anyway. So the judgment mentioned in this place will be the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. So that's for the future, talking about the heart in the future and the judgment coming, you know. So anyway, now be overflow with water, the Bible says here, perish means that the manner in which the pre-Adamic earth was made without form and without was void was by water, you know. What can we read from between the lines? Violent convulsion must have wrecked the pre-Adamic earth and covered its surface with the waters of its sea. Not a living creature remained, as we read before, not a living creature remained alive in the pre-Adamic civilization at all. And its atmosphere of murky darkness hid the light of the sun, the moon, and the star from view. To all intents and purposes, it was a dead planet at that time, after that judgment of the pre-Adamic earth. It was a dead planet. Though the seed of its vegetation, now this is very careful, vegetation, remained entombed, as we will see in the Bible later, we read it between the lines. The vegetation of that time, the seed in there, they remained entombed in the bottom of the earth, ready to spring into resurrection life. We'll come to it later, why we say this and some of that, you know. Now, the absence of the warm rays of the sun caused the earth to pass through the winter of his life in the pre-Adamic time, that judgment and so on, cut off the winter of his of his life. And the submerging waters were congealed into ice. No wonder scientists talk about the ice age, right? Some of which we have in Iceland today, you know. So the heart was covered with the water, congealed and covered the whole heart and so on. There was cloud. And we couldn't see the sun or the stars and so on at that time. In that judgment that came upon the face of the earth and so forth, you know. So we see. And the ice preserved, if you want to call it a cold storage, make it a cold storage, so to say, for the remains of immense animals and even wicked creatures that we might know the kind of animal life that inhabited the pre-Adamic earth. You see? So this was probably the glacial age Bible talk about. So the water of the earth was frozen up, congealed, and so on. And all the remains of those animals at that time were buried in the earth and so on. Now let's move forward now. How long a period elapsed between the creation of the earth and it becoming without form and void? How long? We don't know. We don't know how long it was. Neither do we know how long it continued in that state of being void and without form. We don't know how long it continued that way. But when the time came now, in the purpose of God, in the providence of God, to restore the earth to its habitable date and make it fit for abode of man, it was necessary in the restoration that the Creator should move upon the primeval waste that we have at that time, you know. To this end, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, you know. It was time now. That will be from there on, it's a recreation, you know, recreation, restoration really, not really, you know, it's a restoration of what has been damaged and destroyed. Now let's move to the present earth now, just so much about the pre-Adamic world, right? Let's round up this morning, I don't want to take too much time. Let's round up with the present earth, where we are coming from. We are further informed that the restoration work occurred in the period of 6 days. So I'm saying that from Genesis 1:3 all down to the end of Genesis 1 is mostly, except for the creation of man, I will come to it later, maybe in a moment, all were just restoration or recreation, if you want, I know that, you know. So now, so they say, well, Bible says 6 days, right? These 6 days, as described in Genesis 1:3-31, is not description of how God made the original earth. What we see in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3-31, is not a description of how God made the original or pre-Adamic earth. No, not really, you know. So, but how he restored it to its original form from being void and so on like that, you know. So anyway, let's quickly run through the creation or recreation, I will call it, the fourth day. Bible said, let there be light. God said, let there be light, right? He said, let there be light. That was in Genesis 1:3. And the Bible said there was light. Without light, anyway, nothing could grow, right? Or live. But now, light. Now, the thing is this, from what we know or can see, it's not a direct sunshine, as we see, but the kind of like a kind of filter through the clouds, and the eye that envelopes the earth and begin to warm it up some, from what you can read from the Bible right here. So now, second day, what happened second day? The atmosphere was restored. Genesis 1, 6 to 8. I'm just going to skip reading them. Go ahead, please.
So before the light,
yeah.
Was that the ice age?
That was before the light,
before the recreation.
Yes. So I said let that be light. Yeah. Don't forget that the sun has been there. I will come to it later. Have been there. You are created, but in the judgment of the heart, the predominant the clouds and so on, the ice, the water form a cloud and form. Even today, many planets, like Neptune, you can't get to their surface. And so because of the cloud. So the abundance and something like that. So what was happening from Genesis 1-3 downward
is restoration.
God moving those things out of the way so the sun can shine through, So the sun has never been up what has things like that, So anyway, that's it.
Thank you.
Okay, praise God. So before there could be any plants, or life and so on, the waters of the chaotic waste had to be parted and set in their appointed places. The atmosphere had to be restored to the proportion necessary to life. So this work of the second day was actually an extension of the work of the fourth day. Now the third day, I'm just running through the creation, the restoration now. Mm-hmm. The third day, the land and vegetation appear. Genesis 1:9-13. Again, the work of the third day was twofold: the emergence of land from the sea, and the reappearance of, according to the appearance of vegetable life. This does not seem to be a new creation, but rather a resurrection, if you want, a resurrection. The earth rises up from its watery grave. God is a grave, right? Watery grave. So to say, and seeds and the roots of plants and herbs and trees that were in the earth sprang into life. Just like in springtime here, how all the dead things spring back to life, right? So after God began to move those things around, the cloud and the ice and so on and having those. So they sprang into life, they being into life again, Why do we say this? If you look at Genesis 1:11, it says something, in this respect. And God said, let the heart bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. I said it was so. This reveals the fact that the pre-Adamic earth was clothed with lush green vegetables. It's what you can get out of it. And covered with plants and trees like those of the present day earth. I'm going to skip on to the fourth day right now. So just to save time. The fourth day was, the work of the fourth day was the reappearance of the sun, the moon, and the stars. It was not a creative act at all. The appearance of the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day wasn't a creative act. According to the scripture, they had been created in the beginning. Let's consider Genesis 1:16, for example. Genesis 1:16, to bring out the point. And God made. Notice the word made. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made, you have used the word, he made the stars also. The word made was used, right? Made the stars also. Now, the word made was translated from the Hebrew word, Asah, A-S-A-H. And it is not the same word used in Genesis 1:1, which is bara. Bible says God, in Genesis 1:1, say God created. Now, that is bara, God created. Mm-hmm. But over here, it says made. Mm-hmm. And the Hebrew form of that word made is Asah, A-S-A-R, not created, no? So, that's what we're talking about here. And so, So the sun, the moon, and the stars are shown on the pre-Adamic earth already. They did. But the cloudy atmosphere of the restored earth hid them from view until the fourth day, when the clouds broke away and permitted them to shine on the earth. And from that time, they were appointed to mark the days, the months, the years of the present earth. Now let's move to the fifth day. The work of the fifth day was the creation. Now watch, now it's a creation, not restoration. Now, as I'm going to show you now, creation of fish and fowl. Genesis 1:21 says this. And God created, you use the word created not now, you see, and God created great ways. You see, he didn't say make here, right? He didn't use the word make. He didn't use the word Esa here. He used the word bara in Hebrew. And God created great ways. And every living creature that moved, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind. And every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, here is the first time we come across the word create, meaning bara in Hebrew or Hebrew, and so on, that you know, since we read it in Genesis 1:1. It's the first time that we hear the word create again. He was using the word made. So we see, that's why we call it restoration, really, you know, and so on, that you know. So now, this shows what? It shows us that all animal life was destroyed in the catastrophic overthrow of the pre-Adamic earth. All animal life was gone, you see, at that time. The fish and fowl that were created on the fifth day were the same that we have today. Don't forget when Noah was going to the ark, right? He had to take each of the living animals, right, with him and so on. So the same fish that was created after that one is what we have today, right? Now, the fossil remains of huge land animals, such as the dinosaur, belong to the pre-Adamic earth. They did. Don't forget they were entombed in ice, right? For preservation and so on, that you know. So those fossil remains, even Job tells us, as the earth, have them. I don't have that scripture here and so on, you know. They will tell you know, of these things and so on, that you know. Anyway, so the fossil remains of huge land animals, such as the dinosaur, belong to the pre-Adamic earth. Let's go to the sixth day. Where animals and man was created. The creative work of the sixth day was a twofold, that of land animals and of man himself. In Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the heart bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Verse 25. And God, yeah, restoration. Now, no, we're going to go and I'm going to be. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after his kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. 26 verse. And God said, let us make man in our image. Don't confuse the word make here. We're going to something right now. After his kind, he said, let me make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now watch the next verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image, look at, he keep on repeating the word created, right? About 3 or 4 times. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created in him. Male and female created in him. If I say the word created right there, you know, not just a restoration, it's a creation right here. And so we can keep on reading. So, over that, you know. So, proof that man was created directly of God is shown in that verse 27. Man did not come from hip. He didn't come from any kind of of gorilla. As the science of evolution will tell us today, it's all falsehood. So God is a direct creation from God. Man was a direct creation from God. God said he created him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, they are teaching this thing in school. Evolution is being taught in schools, right? When we Christianity wake up and begin to sound the alarm of the truth of the creation, praise the Lord. You see? So our children are going to school and so on. God forbid we go to a school where they are teaching all this falsehood and so on, that you know. They now make it legal. When people reject divine revelation, judgment must follow. That's what we see in the pandemic time, right? Because what happened again, it's going to be not by water, this time by fire. Next time we talk about the heart, the future, we go into that. So for now. Anyway, so we see right there. So God created man. Now the Bible says and so on. Now, let's go to the seventh day, and I want to close here right now to save time here. The seventh day, Bible says God rested. On the seventh day, or what I call the restoration, God rested. He rested because his work was finished. That is the only justifiable reason for resting, right? He rested because his work was not only finished, but was good. You know, there could be no reflection on it. It was perfect and so like that, you know. Unfortunately, what happened? God's perfect work was marred because of sin. And by the fall of man, God's Sabbath rest was broken. And he had to resume work again. What purpose? Purpose of the redemption of man. That he might become a new creation in Christ. Sin has, he has fallen and so on. You know the fall and so on. So you have to come to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let man be a Christ, right? A new creation has involved. God went to work again. The sin of man broke God's Sabbath. You know, he loves us and so on, you know. So we see that all happened on the seventh day and so on. Okay, finish up here. Let me just talk about the how it was. It was the 6 days of restoration or whatever. Was it 6 24-hour days? Is that what happened? Is that the case? So did he create or restore this in 144 hours? No. That people say 24 times 6 and so on. That is that what happened? Not really. Let me finish up with that and so on. You know, so because again these things are out here, so we're going to have to sound the alarm. So the scripture indicates that a day may represent different periods of time. So we are leaning to the truth that or the implication of scripture that this restoration, these 6 days, were not 24-hour days. That's what we are leaning to. What the scripture implied. You know, I use the word imply, you know. Now, this, for example, indeed, that you know, the Bible uses the word day to measure different time length. Indeed, immediately after the story of creation is completed, or restoration if you want, the entire period of the recreation is spoken of as one day. God called it one day. Genesis 2:4. Hear what he says. Genesis 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day, he called it a day. All the time. In the day that the Lord God made the heart and the heaven, to show you that God uses the word day for different length of time. So we are living by other scriptures that it wasn't 24 hours day that he was using in that creation or whatever. Now, we are told God's day, another in Psalm 90 verse 4, God's day are spoken of as 1,000 days, years in length. Psalm 90 verse 4. For 1,000 years in their sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night, he says, so that to the Lord. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, do not ignore that this one thing, that one day is with the Lord, as 1,000 years. See? God bless you, man. 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. And we know in many places in scripture, the Bible talks about, say, the day of the Lord, talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord, and so on. So, this day is certainly talking about not 24-hour days in length, not really. It is well recognized that the great judgment of the end of the age occupy a period of time too. And when it concludes, after the millennial age, is when all this judgment will conclude. Before the millennial, the judgment will conclude, right? And we are told that the period of the millennial reign of Christ is 1,000 years. So we see 1,000 everywhere. Psalm 90 verse 4 says so. 2 Peter 3 8 says so. Mentioning 1,000 and so on. Millennium is going to be 1,000 years according to the scriptures and so on. Let me read that one to you in Revelation 26. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the fourth resurrection. And such, on such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall live with him 1,000 years. The point, and from no, we know from Adam to Christ, from Bible recording is 4,000 years. From Adam to Christ. And from Christ to this time now is about 2,000 years plus already. So altogether, if we had the millennium to eat, then we have a complete week of man counting one day for 1,000 years. So we start 7,000 years. If we add from Adam then to the millennium, it is about 7,000 years. If you count it as a day, that is like man's week, right? So the inference is this. So that since God is measuring man's days on earth in period of 1,000 years for a day, it seems reasonable to believe that God measured the restoration week in the same way, meaning 1,000 years to mean a day. So now, let me finish with this statement here. Could the Lord have done all this in 24 hour days, or even less? He could. He could if he wanted, but the thing is this. All observation shows that God does not work by magic. Doesn't work by magic. He works according to his laws and orderly processes which he has set to govern the universe. And time appears to be an essential element in the functioning of the physical universe. He could have just like that and done, but he has laws that he set for himself as he does things. And they are orderly and so forth, you know. So anyway, to conclude the past and the present. And we see, you know, this one also, so there are the two judgments already, the pandemic judgment and so forth, you know, because of sin. Satan was in there and so on, and some other thing that happened at that time and so on. In the time of Noah, the flood and some of that, you know, later on in the future, I don't know when, talk about the heart, the future of this heart. And we know judgment is involved in it too, you know. The last one, really, you know. And before we go into the ages of ages and so forth, that, you know, we serve an awesome God. He is the Almighty, you know. So, and he loves his people. God so loved the world, yes. He gave his only begotten Son. That believers in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But when man won't listen to him, he has no more option, you know, than to judge. He's a righteous God too. How awesome our God is, whatever we need is ours to claim as God's children. The Bible says all things are yours and mine as God's children, isn't it? All things, the Bible says, in fact, the word of tomorrow belongs to you and I, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to judge angels. We're going to judge this world. You see, we are here, you and I are here of God. You are a joint heir with Christ. That means that all that God has belongs to you and I. Praise ye the Lord. Reach on out in the name of the Lord by the promises of God and get whatever you want. I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health. The Bible says, it's all yours. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. How beautiful it is to just, read the word of the Lord. That word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. It's getting dark upon this earth already. The heart has since crossed the 11th hour. The midnight is not far off at all. You know, when that call will come to the bride, come up either. We don't know which of the watches is going to come in. But all the signs he told us, they are converging now, Lord. Father, we can see it. We can almost hear his footsteps. Yeah, the bride knows what it is. It is the bride who knows about the wedding and where the wedding should be. They are they that give the cry. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go here to meet him. Bible says, let us have in Revelation 19. Let us be glad, the Bible says, you know, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And because he loves us, he is also ready. So Lord, help us to
to always be in readiness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we won't worry whether it's coming in the first watch or the second or the third or the fourth, or what year or what is going to come. It's coming every day to help us, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't also word the Lord, the warning of the Lord, to escape all these things. The Antichrist, as we are hearing what is happening in the news, is walking underground. All of a sudden, he will make himself manifest, you know. But he's walking underground now, manipulating technology, economics, and every activity of man, and will come out as a superman, you know, make a covenant with Israel, and at the middle of that 7-year period, break a covenant. I'm that Messiah. Him as a man sitting in the temple of God as God. Bible says a mark is issued. No man can buy or sell unless they have a mark at their right hand on their forehead. Amen. So today the Lord says, pray, watch, that the hand everyone to escape all these things. And above all, Revelation 3:10, keep the word of my patience. And Bible says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. So I come to try all that get upon the face of the earth. Father, we pray that we be of them who are counted worthy to escape all these things, Lord, and to stand before you. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Call me back again. It's coming back again.